Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to wellness professionals eager to assist, inform and inspire. Today's topic is divorce and maintenance issues, new hope for South African parents. My guest is Anneke Gryvenstein, accredited family mediator and chairperson of the Social Justice Foundation, speaking from Pretoria. Welcome, Anneke.
Good morning, Mariëtte, and good morning, listeners.
To our listeners, thanks for joining us. After our conversation, it will be fun question time. Anneke, you know I have the greatest respect for the work you do with your husband, Laurie. And for those listeners who don't know, the two of you have been working tirelessly to make life easier for families, especially in the aftermath of divorce. Could you explain what it is you do?
Absolutely, Mariëtte. You know, we started in 2006 already, so it's been 18 years that we've been working with. We started off working with maintenance disputes because arrear maintenance is a real problem in the family environment. And then we started doing mediation and we started to train mediators, and that led to what we're currently doing in Joburg, in Pretoria, in the family environment, where we've created a mum's portal, a maintenance order management system, where we assist parents and professionals on this digitalization to get together so that they can get the help that the families need. You know, on the one side, we've got parental rights and responsibilities. So parents have got a right to have contact and care arrangements with their children. A lot of unwed parents do not share contact. They don't necessarily see their children. That's the one side. And then on the other side, we have the maintenance obligation, where in terms of our law, both parents should make a contribution towards the living expenses of the minor children. And unfortunately, we've seen over the years, and it's well-known statistics, that within 2 years after a maintenance order has been granted, parents fail to pay maintenance. They just stop paying maintenance. So that's why the arrear maintenance is one of the things that we really focus on at this stage, so that we can get to a point where the financial obligations is shared between parents.
Thank you, Anneke. And you mentioned the mum's portal. I think that's an abbreviation. Could you just explain what it is?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In our environment, we talk about the mum's portal. But the acronym for us is the Maintenance Order Management System. It's the first time, as far as we know, in the world, that we link the courts, the Department of Justice, with a system that goes to the credit industry. So this whole ecosystem between the Department of Justice, where parents go to court and they get assistance when it comes to maintenance or new maintenance orders, or where divorces is granted, is now integrated with this MUM system into CPB, which is Consumer Profile Bureau, which is a credit bureau, which hosts this data so that when parents apply for further credit, the maintenance obligations that they have will appear on their credit profile. So when a parent apply for credit and the credit provider, whether it's West Bank or Absa or Capitec Bank, let's use the example of applying for a bond, then this maintenance obligation will appear on their credit profile as soon as we've completed building this register of maintenance obligations. So that's the whole MUM system. In short, it's an ecosystem where we link parents' information to the credit industry, and it's going to help the credit environment to make more informed decisions, and we are definitely sure that we're going to have less non-payment of maintenance. So your maintenance payments must be up to date when you apply for further credit. That's the long and the short of of mums.
Yeah. And if listeners feel a little swamped now with all this information, we are going to go through this step by step, because I must admit that I myself had to grasp this. But it is a huge improvement in the situation as it has been for decades, if not longer than that. Firstly, Anneke, could you give us your definition of maintenance?
I can give you the law definition. In terms of our law, parents must contribute towards maintenance proportionately according to the means. Now, in South Africa, we have a discretionary maintenance system. In short, what that means is parents can sit around a table, they can look at the living expenses of the minor child, and then use their income to say, proportionately, percentage-wise, I can make X contribution. Now, to make this really, really simple is to say, let's say the minor child's expenses is 1,000 rand per month, which we know children don't cost 1,000 rand a month anymore.
Mm.
And the parents earn exactly the same salary. So the income that they take home is exactly the same. Each parent will make a 50%, in other words, a 500 rand contribution towards the living expenses of that specific child.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we see that we work with an 80-20 percentage, where dad will pay 80% of the expenses of the minor child because he's got the bigger income, and mom will make a contribution of 20%. And maintenance is a lot more than only day-to-day expenses. We could even write a clause to say that we've done the calculation in mediation and now it's a 60-40 split between mom and dad, and the educational expenses going forward will also be the same contribution going forward. Because it's very difficult for parents to make a calculation and include everything, because you've got the specific expense for children at the beginning of the year. It's new school uniforms, it's sport equipment, it's textbooks and stationery. And it's not a continuous expense, but it's a big expense. Like in the beginning of the year, some schools we even have doing this expenses at the end of the year. So when the children go back to school in January, everything is sorted out. We can do the same with medical expenses. With medical expenses, we can say, in this scenario, it's a 60-40 split. So if there's a medical shortfall, maybe with a prescription that you took to the pharmacy, mom and dad can split it 60-40. So the financial stress is a lot more shared between the parents. And it's not only the primary caregiver where the child stays that's got all of these expenses, and they just need to be able to cope. Something that we also do is we suggest to parents that they write in an increase clause. Now, in terms of our law, we should look and reevaluate the living expenses of our children annually. And that's one of the reasons why we have created the Mums Portal and created this digitalized system for parents and professionals and service providers. About close to 13 million children do not stay with both biological parents. And that amounts to around 13 million children. Now, if you bring it back to a calculation to look at how many court days we have, how many courts we have, we need to do in the region of about 150 cases per day per court.
And that's not happening.
That's not happening at all. Our finalization rate in court, the average is about 1.7 cases per day. So each and every day, we're falling more and more behind on doing this work for our children. So the impact that we have with parents that do not stay with both biological parents is quite significant. The statistics, the formal statistics that we have say that about 4% of children stay with primarily with dad, and then we have the mothers only, which is 42%, which is quite a high percentage. 21% of our children do not stay with any biological parents. And 33% of our children stay with biological parents. We've got new statistics now to say that it's actually declined to 25% of children that stay with both biological parents. And that is something that we need to turn around as a community, as families, as a society, when it comes to looking after the next generation. Your children is the backbone of everything that's happening in the next generation. And with what's happening now in our family environment, we don't give our children strong family foundations.
Yeah, and that is the heart of what you do, isn't it?
Yes, it's the heart of what we do. We believe if we can do one family at a time, it will be fantastic. After we started to train mediators, we're at a stage now in Gauteng specifically where the impact is about 12,500 families per quarter, which sounds like a lot of families. But if you look at the big picture, when it comes to the annual births, you will see that we're only starting to scratch the surface. We need so many more professionals to come forward and say, I will join hands and I will work in this environment.
Yeah. Annika, from the big picture to let's look at a more individual level. It sounds like a very obvious question to ask, but what is the effect on a child and on a primary caregiver when a parent or former spouse fails to pay maintenance?
From the point of view of me resitting, and I can tell you so many stories. Let's say the settlement agreement specify that parents must share educational expenses. And now you've got this additional camp and tour that the children is going on. The one parent failed to pay his or her, let's say, for example, 50% of this additional expense. And mum or the applicant just can't afford to pay the full amount for this child to go on this tour. The child must stay at home and the rest of the children get onto the bus and that child is not going on that tour, which is hurtful for the child. It creates shame and not feeling part of the community. It disconnects the child because the child try and hide this sorrow and hurt. And many, many times these children end up as bullies. And we all know what is the effect of bullying just in society. We don't even have to only talk about schools. So there's an emotional impact, but there's also a financial impact. We also see that, you know, there's children that cannot go to university and study further because only one parent is making a contribution. So, yes, on a day-to-day basis, it's serious. We get parents that contact us and they will tell us, it's the 20th of the month. I still haven't received my maintenance contribution for the month. And I just do not have the money to put petrol in my car so that my child can go to school. So for the rest of the month, up until such time as I get the money, my child will not go to school. It goes without saying what is the impact on a child's life. We did a mediation once where the child stole shoes for the matric farewell. I honestly believe that it was not intentional. He's not intentionally a criminal. That was desperation. Because he really wants to go to the matric farewell, but the financial means is just not there. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, and it's just a couple of examples to show you how devastating the emotional impact is on our children. And with this hurts and hang-ups that we as parents create and cause in them as minor children, where we are supposed to protect them and look after their well-being. Because they're taking this hurts and hang-ups into their lives as young adults, into their marriages, into their relationships, into the work environment. And it's got an effect on everything that they do going forward.
You've just mentioned court, Annika, and what I never realized before I spoke to you and your husband, Laurie, is that failing to pay maintenance as ordered by a court is a criminal offense.
Yes, it's a criminal offense, and you can go to jail. Again, if you look at our justice system, the systemic problems that we have is well documented. And we all know about the lack of resources and the fact that we cannot enforce legislation. If you just look at the ecosystem that we've built now with mums, the legislation changed in March 2015 to say that maintenance obligations must form part of your credit profile. And credit providers must take that into consideration when you apply for further credit. That was never implemented. We're going on 10 years now that we didn't implement that. So, yes, you do get a criminal record if you do not pay your maintenance. And you are supposed to go to jail for that. It doesn't really happen. And that's why fathers or maintenance, what we call maintenance debtors, people that are supposed to pay maintenance, get away with that. Because the civil side of the maintenance enforcement has never been implemented properly in South Africa. It's legislation that we had since 1999 to say that if your maintenance is in arrears for 10 days, you can apply for enforcement order. So there's a specific process that you can follow. You've got your maintenance order. We know what is the arrears. You can go to court and you can apply for an enforcement of a maintenance order. We talk about a form J306, where you then choose how you want to execute this enforcement order, whether it's a garnishing order or a warrant of attachment of property or a warrant of attachment of debt. But the main thing when you do this application is to ensure that the maintenance officer complete the Form W. Now, the Form W is where the defaulter, in other words, the person that did not comply with the maintenance order, information is going to be submitted to the credit industry, to the credit bureau. So it's going to appear on his credit profile that he did not pay his maintenance. So there was a maintenance default. Typically, that will mean that he will not get further credit up until such time as he paid the maintenance that's in arrears. And something that people also don't know is that if there's arrear maintenance, you can claim that arrear maintenance on behalf of your child for 30 years because you've got a court order stating that you are supposed to pay maintenance for X, Y, and Z, and this is the amount. So there's a lot of people that can that can use our system or even just go to court if they don't want to work with the maintenance orders system. It's to say that I've got arrear maintenance. We assisted a family about 2 years ago with an arrear maintenance scenario. It's a well-known person in the media, so I'm not going to mention names. And for me, it was a substantial amount. It was close to 280,000 rand. And the arrear maintenance was paid, and the children could go to university at the age of 20. So it was quite a few years of maintenance that was not paid. So we will assist the parties to do a schedule of payments to include the correct interest rates, and then we take it from there.
Annika, if I could just recap from the way I see it, and you can tell me whether I'm correct. So if I'm a primary caregiver and my ex-spouse or previous partner is not paying maintenance, Then, from the work that you and Laurie have been doing for many years, this means that now it will reflect on his credit profile, that he's in arrears regarding maintenance. How does it happen that it reflects on his profile? What needs to happen there?
Okay. As a parent, as a primary caregiver, you need to report that, because nobody is going to know that there's arrear maintenance if you, as the primary caregiver, do not report the fact that there's arrear maintenance. And that's why we've created three entryways for parents to do that. The first one is to go to court. Go to your local magistrate's court, your maintenance court, and report the fact that I need to apply for an enforcement order, the J306. That's the one way. We know it's difficult for parents with work obligations and everything that's going with that to do that. So we also have the option of you can go to our website, maintenanceorders.co.za or .org.za, and there's a button that you click start here, and you can start the process electronically wherever you work. It's an internet-based exercise where we create a secure login and password for you, and we assist you to report this and take you through the process. The third way of doing this is to download our co-parenting app. Again, you'll be taken through a process where there's a secure login and password, and you will be able to click on the link CPB listing, because the CPB listing means that we start the process to validate that the information that you've given us is the correct information, and then we assist you to list the information.
Yes, and I'd just like to mention that CPB stands for Consumer Profile Bureau.
Yes, that's the dedicated credit bureau. That's the primary host of this information, of this data. We take parents through a validation process and also a verification process, because it's very important that we do have information and data that's accurate and up-to-date. Typically, previously, we worked with maintenance claims that was false claims.
Oh.
Yes, that's the one side. And then the other side is, because it's a civil process, we also need to make sure that there's a court order. And in terms of the court order, the money was not paid. In other words, we've got the enforcement order, it's been reported to the court, and if parents is going to come through the co-parent app or through our portal, we're going to assist them to get the enforcement order from court. It's just another way into this ecosystem, into mums. And then we can submit the information to the portal. So the accuracy of the information is very, very important. Once the arrear maintenance has been paid, then we can issue a clearance letter, and the averse listing will be removed from the person's credit profile. In other words, it's not going to appear there anymore. But again, we need to go through a process. We need to make contact with the parent, with the primary caregiver, and receive the proof that this money has been paid.
Yes. I'd just like to say at this stage that these links that you have now referred to, the two things, the mum system and the co-parenting app, I'm going to put those in the podcasting notes. And we're also going to speak about the app a little later. But what I'd like to ask you here, Annika, if I'm a primary caregiver and through one of these portals I have now indicated that my ex-partner is in arrears in maintenance, how will it affect this person if the whole process has now gone through?
But to start off with, it's going to affect his credibility, his credit. He will not receive any further credit to buy the vehicle or the additional property or qualify for a new cell phone because of this averse listing. You will have to pay the arrear maintenance first, get a clearance letter, and then you will be able to continue this bond application or vehicle application or cell phone application you know, that he's busy with.
Yes, that sounds very practical.
Yes, it is very practical. And should the credit provider, for whatever reason, still grant the credit, the National Credit Regulations is very clear about that. The credit provider, in other words, the cell phone company or the bank, they can get fines up until 10 million rand, and the debt can be written off. So it's very, very serious, the fact that, you know, if there's an adverse listing, it will be seen as reckless credit. And the credit providers can also be fined and things like that. So it's a serious process, and that's why it's important that the information that we provide is accurate and up to date. We've got more than 7,000 credit providers, and again, it's impossible to share this information if it's not going to be digital. If you just look at how many credit inquiries do we have annually, it's close to 127 million credit inquiries annually. That's a lot of credit inquiries. Can you imagine if every time that there's a real maintenance, the courts provide this information to the credit providers? So it's 7,000 credit providers and 54 credit bureaus. Each and every time that there's a real maintenance. So we need to digitalize this. And it took a while to get the National Credit Regulator and the Credit Providers and the Credit Bureau Association on board when it came to this, because they didn't want to miss this. They just said their systems are not developed for maintenance obligations. And that's why we are so thankful that Marina Short from CPB said, I will change my systems. I will make it possible. I will ensure that the other credit bureaus receive the data. We had to go through quite a process of, because the maintenance order or the divorce order has got minors' details on. It's not a public document. So we need to have additional security and additional firewalls, to put it very simple. And then we extract the information of the minor children and we keep it separate and safe in a specific space, a digital space. And that information will never be shared with the credit bureaus or the credit providers. So it's very important for us that we take you through the system. We make sure that the minor's details are protected and safe, and then we mask that information, and then there's only certain information that's going to go to the credit bureau, which is going to reflect on your credit profile. So it's not like any other, like civil debt. It's not the same thing. We even engage and we take it a step further because we want parents to talk to each other. Once you've reported the real maintenance and it becomes part of our exercise, and part of the validation and testing the accuracy is also to give parents an opportunity to say, is there any dispute or anything that you would like to sort out? Apart from the fact that there's maintenance, maybe there's contact and care arrangements that you need to sort out, or you want to go into a mediation process because you need to change the current, or you need a variation on the current court order. You haven't increased your maintenance or re-evaluated the living expenses of the minor children, and maybe it's time for an increase in maintenance. Or there was a substantial change in your living experiences and your living environment. Let's say, for example, you've had your own business, and with everything that's happening in the economy and COVID and whatever, you fail, you have to close the business, and now you need to find alternative employment or you need to start a new business. That's substantial changes, or you lost your job due to layoffs because they're scaling down the workforce. It changes the environment, and And that's when parents need to relook at what is the scenario now and how are we going to deal with this? Is it possible to reevaluate and restructure the way that we make a contribution towards our minor children's living expenses? It's possible to do that. So parents have that opportunity. Parents will be informed. We're going to use WhatsApp, emails, SMSs to communicate digitally with parents to say, we've received this information, so there's no such thing as you don't know. We're going to use as much platforms and channels as possible so that people and parents can stay informed. They must know about this. It doesn't necessarily happen like this in the civil environment. You will apply for a new cell phone and they will decline the application and you will ask why and, oh, but you didn't pay, for example, your Edgar's account and there's an outstanding balance and Edgar's has continued with judgment on the amount that's outstanding because you ignored the SMSs and the emails and the phone calls that you got because you thought it's just going to disappear. You know, then you will get a surprise when you apply for further credit. So we keep parents informed. They're going to know about this. And we want them to participate on this portal. We want them to give us the correct information. Because in the end of the day, it's about the well-being of their children. And we look after the well-being of their children. It's not about the information that we get and doing anything else, but trying to strengthen the family foundations for that specific child, even though parents don't stay together.
Yes. So if I understand correctly, if the primary caregiver finds that the maintenance is in arrears, then they can register on the mum's platform and you will take them through the process and you will verify all the information, see whether it's true, and then you will let the ex-partner know that you now have this information and this process is going on, and then they are invited to participate.
Yes, and respond. You know what? Since you got this information, the maintenance is not 10,000 rand in arrears anymore. It's 2,000 rand in arrears because I've paid 8,000. Things can change so quickly. So we invite you to participate. We want you to participate because you are the only people that have this information.
Yeah. And then, Annika, let's go on to the co-parent app, which you and Laurie had developed. And I think it is an absolutely wonderful thing for parents who do not live together anymore. Could you explain what that is?
Yes, I can. I'm very excited about the co-parent app. As mediators, dealing with parental rights and responsibilities and disputes for such a long time, I think the app is going to be, or is already in some families, assistance to help parents to communicate on a neutral platform. If there's been a family breakup, the first thing that goes is the fact that parents don't speak to each other anymore. And unfortunately, when there's minor children, parents will have to speak to each other. There's always things that they have to communicate. And yes, the mediators do assist a lot in creating that neutral platform, and the parents communicate through the mediator. But you can't parent a parent. And that's one of the ways of creating a platform where parents can communicate with each other. In other words, it's instant messaging. You've got complete record of how the parents communicate with each other. If it's really necessary, in our high conflict cases, we've got a mediator that's linked to the case all the time in the background so they can see what is happening. There's a language filter, and I always say with the language filter that I've learned an additional language. I didn't know that there's so many terrible words, foul words out there.
But you must explain what a language filter is.
The language filter block you to use swear words. You can't use emojis and no signals. So you need, whatever you want to say, you need to put it into words. Something that it's also doing is it's got a little thermometer. And as you write your response or your message, it's going to go from green to red. So it's going to run and it's going to show you if it's red, you really need to rethink how you communicate before you send this message. And if it's green, it's obviously completely neutral and things like that. So we do find that the thermometer that's running when you write the message make people think twice before they send it. And we've seen a serious decline in conflict between parents because they communicate on this app and you've got these little things that helps you to communicate more peacefully. So it's a language filter. You have your contact and care schedule where you can make your arrangements for weekends and holidays, and you can send a message when there's a choir performance or a sport performance or anything where the parents are supposed to be together. You can't say that you were not informed or you didn't get the WhatsApp or anything like that, because you get an instant notification that there was a change on the contact and care arrangements. Also part of the app is your maintenance obligations, where you can keep track of how the maintenance money has been paid, how the medical expenses have been shared, have the parent paid, did he not pay. And should you ever get to a point where it's necessary to get a schedule of payments, you will be able to ask us to extract that information. And you will instantly have a schedule of payments from the date that you started keeping this record. Because we do see when parents come to the maintenance court, even to the mediation table, that parents don't necessarily keep a record of what is the area maintenance. They will be able to tell you it's been 14 months now that he didn't pay maintenance, or, you know, it's a slip one, skip one. He will pay for 2 months and then not pay for 3 months and then pay for 6 months and then not pay for a year. But it's been like this now for years, and it's been 15 years. We need to be able to quantify the amount of maintenance. So we need to know what is the amount of maintenance, because we also need to be able to make an interest calculation, because the maintenance is payable, the arrear maintenance is payable plus interest. And for many years, the default interest rate was 15.5%. There's been quite a few changes when it comes to the interest rate. So you're more than welcome to contact us and we will give you the periods and what is the applicable interest for that specific period. I don't even remember everything from the top of my head, because it's not only a blanket percentage of 15.5% anymore, but quite a few recent changes when it comes to the interest rate. So send us an email, or if you get stuck when you do this calculation, we've got material available, or we will sit down with you and we will help you to make this calculation. It's a simple, straightforward calculation, but not everybody likes to do calculations. And if you want us to check it, we will help you to check it. The idea is to inform and assist our parents as much as possible. So again, there's a directory in the app, you can make contact with us. But the whole idea of the app was you can create your own parenting plan with the contact and care schedule, with the maintenance obligations that you can keep track of, with the language filter. It's all of these help and resource directories. It's all there to help you in your journey as a parent.
Right. And Annika, where can people download the co-parent app and what does it cost?
The co-parent app is available in the Play Stores. And there's an annual subscription fee of 50 Rand per parent.
Yeah, and that should be affordable, I hope, to most people.
Yes. The idea is to make it as affordable as possible. We've also got a new version of the app that's going to come out soon, where it's going to use minimal data. It's already been written in such a way that it's going to use minimal data, but it's going to use even less data. And then we are busy with negotiations with the cell phone providers to see what can we do to even take that data that you're going to use anyway away, so that when you do use the app, it's data free.
That would be wonderful. Now, Annika, just one more short question, and that is, would you like to say a little about family mediation or alternative dispute resolution?
Yes. Family mediation, alternative dispute resolution is something that we have been promoting and marketing now for 18 years. The main reason we're back to our litigation processes that are just too long before you can reach a solution. At this stage in the High Court in Joburg, you will get a court date in 2031.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think it's we're on June or July already, 2031. And when you've got minor children involved, you can't wait for maintenance for 6 years for minor children or wait to get a divorce resolved in that period of time. You need to be able to resolve it as quickly as possible, because how are you going to look after this child if you wait for six years or the one parent don't have contact with this child for such a long time? So mediation is a process where you save time and you save money when it comes to resolving this matter a lot sooner and getting to a settlement agreement. The quick way to explain to people what mediation is, and we always use this example of the orange, is when you go into a mediation room or you've got a pre-mediation meeting. I always ask the people that come to me, have you participated in mediation? Do you know what alternative dispute resolution is all about? And if they say no, then I use the story of the orange. These two little girls are in the kitchen. They're busy and preparing. It's mom's birthday. And the next moment, it's that typical World War III fights that only children. And dad goes down the stairs and they're fighting. He doesn't get a word in sideways. And eventually, he got to a point where he understood what it was all about. And they said to him, but they want the orange. Now, there's one orange and they both want the orange. So what do we normally do as parents? Would you like to try a guess, Mariette?
Well, I think we usually scold them for fighting.
Absolutely. But we also tend to say, okay, fine, sharing is caring. So we're going to cut this orange in half, because that's how we were taught.
Yeah.
We don't do that in mediation. We ask you in mediation, what do you want to do with this orange? The one girl, the little girl, is making breakfast for mom, and she needs the juice so that she can make this orange smoothie. The other one is baking a cake for mom's birthday, and she needs the rind of the orange because that needs to go into the icing and into the cake.
Oh, I see.
So what do we create here? The one girl, if we cut the orange in half, can't finish the smoothie because there's not enough. And the other one can't bite the cake because there's not enough rind, because we cut it in half. And that's typically what happens in a court environment. So your satisfactory level is 50%, because the courts don't listen to creating your own solution that's going to work for you. They don't ask you what you want. They look at the papers, and we know 99% of the time they make the wrong decisions. But now in mediation, you can craft your own solution. Both girls can get what they want if you ask the right questions.
Mm.
and you get a 100% satisfactory level. We also see with my mediation that because parents buy into the decisions, because it's their decisions, your mediator is a neutral third party, which is a person that's got excellent negotiation skills and has been trained properly to negotiate. But they don't have any power to make any decisions on your behalf. They can help you to look at various options, but they can't make a decision on your behalf. Where a magistrate or a judge can make a decision on your behalf, and you can't say, I don't like this, or I would rather do something else. I reconsidered. I'm not going to send the child to school. I am going to send this child to school B. If the judge decided this child is going to school A, he has made a decision. In mediation, it's not like that. So parents really get an opportunity to put something together that's unique for the family scenario and something that can work for them and for their children. I always say a mediator should look at the whole family and help you to craft something that's in the best interest of everybody involved. When you go to an attorney, you pay that attorney to fight for your rights. And fight is the only word. He's going to fight for the best interest of you. And it's not going to matter what devastation or economic pressure he's going to put on the other parent. Mediation now, with the legislative changes that we had, I think we're close to 55 acts already that include mediation and alternative dispute resolution. We need to embrace this additional option to resolve disputes, because going to court is going to cost you on an emotional level a lot of stress. And can you imagine having the stress of trying to resolve something and you know you're only going to get a court date 6 years from now? Most people don't want to wait that long for an outcome.
Thank you, Annika. Could you maybe mention the websites where people can go to get information and help? I will also attach them to the podcast, but maybe you could just mention them here.
Sure, I can do that. Let's start with the Co-Parent app. The Co-Parent app, the website is just co-parent, www.coparent.co.za. And then we've got the maintenance orders, the mum's portal. It's again www.maintenanceorders.co.za or .org.za. And then you're more than welcome to also contact us, you know, via phone. We've got a landline, 021-300-6309. And no, it's a digital line. We're not in Cape Town anymore, but it's still available. And for some other reason, we don't need to change the extension, but you're not going to speak to us in Cape Town. That's the one. And then you can also send us a WhatsApp. There's a WhatsApp line as well, 064-800-3975. Somewhere, somehow, we will be assisted. You can even send us an email to info@socialjustice.co.za. It's the easiest email to remember. And if you've got any questions, you're more than welcome to reach out. We've got a network of professionals around the country and now building a network internationally where we can help and assist you. Thank you, Mariette, and thank you for taking the time to speak to me.
Yes, two things. For those parents who are listening or individuals who are listening and think this, who may think this sounds too good to be true, I'd just like to say it's not. It's actually true that you can get all this help from Annika and Laurie and the people they work with, because they are really bent on improving the emotional health and all other types of health of families in South Africa. And now it seems to me also further afield.
Thank you, Mariet.
And then, Annika, you're not going to get away before I've asked you a fun question.
I'm nervous, but I'm listening. I'll try my best.
Anneke, if you were turned loose in a kitchen with enough time and ingredients to prepare any dish or bake anything you fancy, what would you like to cook or bake?
It's probably going to be Sunday lunch.
Ah.
Yes. I'm not a baker. In our family, Laurie is the baker. He also comes from the Omar Rusks Cravensteins. So,
ooh.
Yes, so they are well-known bakers. But I'm on duty on a Sunday where I need to cook lunch. Now, we're at a stage where I can't decide anymore what I would like to do. Anything from Wednesday, the grandchildren will come forward and put in the orders for Sunday. So it will be really...
So what would you typically do?
Typically, like last Sunday, we made sausages that was marinated. Ooh. And it was just the meat, the game meat and the onion, and it was braised on the South African way, the only way we know, with a salad and roast potatoes. But each little one have their own idea of what they want. The one loves chicken pie and the other one loves roast potatoes and the other one loves Nando's rice. And I said last Sunday that we really need to change the menu, because for three Sundays now we know to roast potatoes, sweet potatoes, rice, and then something else. So, yeah.
Ooh, you're making my mouth water. So, yeah, thank you, Anneke, for sharing this good news. I do hope parents are going to take this to heart. And you and Laurie are doing the most wonderful work, and you have been doing this in an undaunted fashion for a very long time. So may you be blessed in your work.
Thank you, Mariette, and thank you for the blessing that you've been in our life. And may you have showers of blessing for the rest of the year. Because do you know that this year is 2025 and it stands for grace upon grace?
No, I didn't know that. That's beautiful.
Yes, grace upon grace. It's 5 times 5, and may you be blessed abundantly according to that.
Thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series Calm, Clear and Helpful is produced by me, with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.